Sean works at Papa John's, but I didn't.
Tonight we talk about the occult and Satan, and I don't like doing this, to be honest with you. Okay? I plead his blood all day, because I know that when you talk about him, old smutty face perks his ears up and he decides to take advantage of it. So tonight we're just going to just praise the Lord and give you some things that we're going to learn about it, and then Beth is going to come and give a testimony of some things that she went through after our break. And then we'll go from there. So the first thing I think I want to go to is the sheet that starts out by saying, what is the occult? What is the occult? And we'll just start here. And I'm not going to read every bit of material tonight to you. I've just given it to you for your own research and for your own help. Andy and I are a little behind on trying to get the notes caught up because some of the stuff hasn't been put in outline form. We need to do that. So suffice it to say, you'll have a notebook that I've given you notes for a notebook, but the updated notebook, when we get it done, we'll give you a jingle and let you know that it's available to you, okay? Because we really want to try to catch that up, and that's part of our goal for this. So that'll be a blessing. But how would you define a cult?
What is an occult? O-C-U-L-T. What would you define that as? What have you heard it to be? Go ahead, Chad.
Anything that alters your thinking, or to make you turn in your ways from God, go other direction.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Not a big part of his magic.
Okay, a big part of his magic. Okay, good. Someone else. Go ahead, John.
I thought that it was like satanic.
Okay.
In its roots.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it definitely has that. Someone else? Anyone else? Definition of a cult? Well, let's look at your notes and see what is the difference between a cult and the occult. And this was a little article I picked up by the people who do the Watchman Expositor. That's a website that you could go to look at different groups. I refer to it a lot in some of the changes that happen to the cults. It's often said that the term cult and the occult are two sides of the same coin. It is true that there are common aspects of both terms, and often some blurring occurs. Cults frequently practice aspects of the occult, and occult groups are, in a large aspect of the word, themselves cults, because of the characteristics that we've already talked about of a cult. Watchman Fellowship, however, usually makes a distinction between the terms cult and occult. Most often when using the term cult, Watchman Fellowship is referring to groups that claim to be Christian or compatible with Christianity, but when their theology and practices are examined, they are found to be contrary to the essential doctrine of the Christian faith. Frequently, cults will exploit their followers to the abuse of religious authority, forms of mind control, and we've talked about all of these, okay? Cult organizations, however, seldom claim to be Christian churches. Occult practices are less frequently billed as compatible with Christianity, although there are some exceptions. The term occult is derived from the Latin word occultus, which means to cover up, to hide, or those things which are hidden or secret. When used in this paper, the word occult means any attempt to gain supernatural knowledge or power apart from God, the God of the Bible. Although occultism is widespread and eclectic, with many groups advocating principles or positions in opposition to others, there are basically three types of occults or occultism. Psychic discernment groups. These practitioners attempt to supernaturally gain hidden knowledge, often through future, through psychic readings, or by use of various props. These include astrology, which uses the stars as props. Fortune telling uses palms, tea leaves or crystal balls, tarot cards, and various quasi-medical readings involving the iris of the eye, iridology, or the bottoms of the feet, reflexology. Okay? Then there's paganism. Second class of occultists are neo-pagans. What's the word neo mean?
New.
Okay? These occult groups represent a revival of the more extant forms of worship involving the belief in animism, which is living spirits in inanimate objects and plants, and the worship of self, earth, or an encompassing mother goddess. practices and organizations include Wicca, witchcraft, magic, shamanism, which is primitive witch doctors of Native American spiritism. Okay? No, you don't have that?
It's
not on the back of your sheet?
No.
The copier didn't copy the back of the sheet. I will get it to you, so just listen for a minute, okay? Any bad? Must have got two sheets for one, okay? So paganism includes things like Wicca, witchcraft, magic, shamanism, which is witch doctors in Native America. And neo-pagan groups do not claim to worship or even believe in Satan, a fact often surprising for outsiders. They may not believe in him, but in all reality, they still worship him and serve him. And then the last group is called Spiritism, and we'll talk about that. You do have a sheet on that in a minute. We'll get to that. But the final category of occult activity is known as Spiritism, which is defined as an attempt to contact or communicate with a spirit entity or a deceased person. This is called, in the Bible, necromancy. Okay? This classification includes transit mediums, New Age channeling, Edgar Casey, seances, Ouija boards, whoever is calling right now, no. okay, and these are used for divination and by some as a means to contact spirits or entities. So the three groups are psychic discernment groups, paganism, and spiritism. And again, in the last 30 years, the United States has witnessed an explosion of occult activity, especially with the New Age movement. Of course, it's somewhat died a little bit now, but it still has its part. And again, that's basically what I wanted out of there. Did you have the next page that has like a Christian response on the bottom of it?
Yeah.
So you have that page, but it missed the second page. Okay. A Christian response. The staff at Washington Fellowship has had contact and dialogue with a number of occultists throughout the years. Some have left the occult to receive Christ as Savior. Readers are cautioned to remember that while the occult is sinister and evil, the individuals involved are often average people who are desperately searching, only they're searching in the wrong direction, for answers to problems, acceptance, and love. While there are celebrated exceptions, the Son of Sam and Charles Manson, most occultists are different than any other lost person, are no different than any other lost person apart from saving knowledge of Christ. And when they are truly seeking supernatural answers for their spiritual needs, unaware that they are playing with fire. Christians are encouraged to respond to the occult not with fear and hatred, but by sharing Christ with respect and love. And again, you are the light of the world, and ye are God's little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So the bottom line is, you don't have to fear these groups. You just have to know enough about them to be able to confront them and talk to them a little bit. All right, let's look at occult cults. It has the word spiritism on the front. Occult cults. Okay, got it? Spiritualism or spiritism. The early history of the founder, spiritism, is manifested in daily newspapers, radio talk shows, seances, mediums, and astrological charts. They are based out of the spiritualism movement. The group has been around a long time. The Old Testament deals with occult practices. Modern spiritualism found its roots in two sisters named Margaret and Kate Fox, who lived in a place then called Hydesdale, New York, today called Lilydale, and it's near Rochester, okay? There, it's down by Seneca Falls area, I think. Is that, anybody know where Lilydale is?
We just did the play at Jesus Theater.
Yeah.
Did you
see
that?
No.
Yeah, the house is nice, though.
Yeah. You're right. Yep, mm-hmm. You're right. Yep.
It's all about them.
That's right. And their dad moved in a new house where rappings or knockings on the walls were heard from the spirits that indwelt the house, and this started the spirit worship of the modern day and became known as the Rochester Rappings. Okay? We're not talking about not what we're dealing with, okay? Alright? These ladies became mediums, and rappings became their method of communication with the spirits. I knew it was witchcraft. Rapping was. At the same time, Andrew Jackson Davis wrote an automatic writing, Communication of Spirits to the Real World. A notable believer in spiritualism was Arthur Conan Doyle, the writer of Sherlock Holmes novels. Today, there are three major groups in the U.S. These groups total 200 churches with just over 10,000 members. In South America, there are 4 million spiritualists. Very demonic activity. I was talking to one of the ballplayers, and he said in Venezuela, he said everywhere you go, people are into, I want to say sangria or worship of, what is it?
Santeria,
that's what it is. Santeria, okay? Which is devil worship, big time. And they make markings on themselves to be identified as part of that. And there's a lot of ball players who are now coming from those, bringing that beliefs with them. And it's unbelievable how it's attacking even the Christian world. One of the managers, supposedly of one of the teams, and I'll not name it, for fear that anybody could get a hold of this. He's the manager, and I guess he is really mean and miserable to the chapel leader of that team and really hates any Christian aspect of helping out the team. And so it's because he's part of this, the Santeria. So the International General Assembly of Spiritualists is one of the groups. The Nationalist Spiritualist Alliance of the USA is another. And the National Spiritualist Association of Churches is another. And of course, they emphasize right living on earth, believing that their condition in the spirit world depends entirely on what they do while in the mortal form. Again, it's salvation more by works. They oppose war and capital punishment. Don't believe in forgiveness of sin. You must work out your moral and spiritual evolution. They all believe that all people have psychic force, which is located in your mind. They believe that all people have this in greater or lesser degrees. Those who have it in greater degrees are called mediums. Mediums use their psychic force. I'm an extra large, by the way. Okay. Couldn't resist, man. Okay. To go between the spirit world and the world in which we live. The following is a quotation for a question and answer book they published called The ABC of Spiritualism. Number one, is spiritualism based on the Bible? No. The Bible, so far as it is inspired and true, is based on mediumship. Therefore, both Christianity and spiritualism rest on the same basis. That is, we interpret the Bible by what our mediums say. They feel that the Bible is inspired as long as they agree with them. Okay? So again, qualifies as a cult too. Okay? Do spiritualists believe in the deity of Christ? Most assuredly, we believe in the deity of all men. So that was a nice answer to that question. Okay? Do spiritualists recognize Jesus as one person of a trinity, co-equal with the Father and divine in the sense in which the divinity is unattainable to other men? No. Spiritualism accepts him as one of many Savior Christs. And again, you can read on and on. And part of this is Rosicrucianism. And you can read that. But its early history and founder, Rosicrucian means rose cross or crucifix. That's the center of what Rosicrucians believe. And it was organized in the 14th and 15th century with a man named Christian Rosenkreuz. He founded the mysterious order of the Rosicrucians to throw the light of occultism onto Christianity. It is the interpretation of Catholicism by occult teachings and practices. And you can go through and read that. I'm not going to spend the time to go through all that or what they believe. Because, again, not many people will deal with the Rosicrucians around here, as far as I know. Okay? So, again, let's look at some of these others. Palmistry. Next. Do you have that? Palmistry. The contributions of palmistry as a science. The Romans had a proverb which said, by the paw you know the man. This expression does have an element of truth. In character study and physiology, the thesis prevails that a man presents a harmonious unity in both his spirit and psychic functions and his organic functions. Every segment of the bodily form and function bears the marks of man's unified personality, his walk, his manner of speech, his facial expressions, his handwritings, and his temperament. The hand of man is such a distinctly marked characteristic instrument that from its structure certain conclusions can be drawn as to the person. There are the hands of all kinds, artistic, sensitive, hard, stern, willed, weak, sentimental, nervous, and weak, sensual, perverse, which immediately disclose a person's character. Criticism of palmistry is a spiritual call. Though the rational and scientific basis for palmistry are acknowledged, often this basis of science is abandoned and the resulting practice becomes purely occult. Techniques of the fortune-telling palmistry. You see this all in Florida, too, by the way. I don't see a lot of up here, and if it does, it doesn't last very long. Something about Rogerarians being from winter, you know, their brain is a little bit more, you know, completely, yeah. they don't fall for anything, so to speak. I've seen several places come and go in Rochester, especially on Ridge Road, you know, the New Age place, and they just come and, because Roman Catholicism is huge, okay, and they don't, you know, they don't buy into it a lot. But it's happening more and more. It's becoming more and more distinct. The hand is divided in certain areas and lines. There are areas for spirit, faith, fortune, fame, imagination, will, feelings, and other traits. The four main lines dominate the palm surface, heart, head, your calling, your life. From this array, what happens if you have an amputation, I wonder, okay? From this array, it's not a good thing, I'll bet you, okay? The palm reader attaches far-reaching significance. Here's an example of an advertising of a well-known palm reader in Springfield, Missouri. Sister Bishop, reader and advisor, helps you where all others have failed. Sister Bishop will call your friends and your enemies by name without asking a single word. Sister Bishop is the spiritualist you've been looking for. Okay? It's probably your Yellow Page ads, alright?
There's a lot of those in Monroe
Ave. Is there?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of wacko people walk Monroe. It's like, and it's big down south for some other reason, man. It's just huge. Everywhere you go, there's signs out at the front of their stores, you know, palm reading today, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? Necromancy, also called divination. The definition, a transcendental activity grounded on the persuasion that people can, through certain mediums, usually witches, make contact with the deceased spirits or demons and so acquire revelations from the supernatural world. The claims of necromancers. Life in the hereafter is spent in seven different circles or spheres, each surrounding the earth. Interesting, it's seven, isn't it? Some spirits are in a low, earthbound sphere where they are taught by spirits in a higher sphere. The spirits of those who have died recently are quite near the earth. They can hear us and they know us. And as the spirit becomes more perfect, it passes into a higher sphere and gradually loses its interest in the life we live in the flesh. Okay? Spirits are believed to have a body, although one that differs from the one we now have on earth. And again, some of this, if you read it, it's a twink on Christianity and what we believe, okay? Do we believe we're going to have a new body? Well, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we talk about a new body going up during the rapture. So a lot of this is a tweak of spiritual things. See, the instrument through which spirits transmit supernatural knowledge is called a medium. A medium, the seance is a meeting which is assembled for an attempt at communication with the dead. Vibrations are the impulses or messages that the medium receives from the spirit world. Unplug the cord that's attached to your chair. That'll help take those little impulses away. Okay.
Carnivals and stuff like that.
Yeah.
A lot of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. They do because they get a lot of innocent people there.
Yeah.
The power to communicate with the beyond is enhanced when several people concentrate. So you have to get a whole room full of people involved now, and they all concentrate, okay, and are in a physical contact one with another. They touch each other's hands or hold hands or lay their hands on each other, okay? The simplest phenomenon of spirit is called table tilting or levitation, which the people in the stand spread their hands on a table with each sitter's two thumbs touching each other while his two little fingers touch those of the sitters next to him. Table begins to lift two or more legs off the floor and then bounce back. The sitters agree with the spirit that one thud will mean the letter A, two thuds letter B, and so on, so the message is conveyed through the number of thumps. This practice is also called table rapping. Oh, A, B, C, okay. One of the most popular recreational games sold for entertainment in most department stores is the Ouija board, played by moving the fingertips on a pointer to yes or no answers mysteriously given to questions of a personal nature. Now, I don't know about you, but when we were kids, we used to goof around with stuff like this. We used to goof around with levitation. At some of the parties we used to have, we used to try to levitate kids in the room and stuff like that. We had no idea what we were messing with. Okay? Same thing is true of playing the Ouija board. Okay? A lot of things on a Ouija board were absolutely true. And the bottom line is, because it's involved with Satan. It is a satanic thing. The god of this world. And so a lot of that, which, you know, when we got saved, I destroyed my Ouija board. I burned it, okay? And so did Louise, and so did everybody else. John?
I heard a story about a Ouija board, literally, like, being put away on the shelf, and it was my mother bought it, and it literally was put away, and every time kids would make room, it would be right back out in the middle of the floor.
When doubted.
Put away, nobody was there moving.
Would have no doubt about that. Okay. Don't underestimate the power. You know, people mess with satanic things because they see evidence of it. Rather than live by faith and trust the Lord and look in the Word, they look at the evidence of some of the things that are happening, and it draws them, because of their curiosity, into these things. So, John?
Where does that trace back? Does that trace back to like ancient Egypt or something? Or
I don't know. I don't know whether it was a game prior to this or not. I haven't found any evidence of that. Okay? Yes, man?
There's always been like some sort of form. It goes way back. Like before they came out with the Ouija board, they actually had something else.
Mm-hmm.
That was before that.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what it was, because one of my ex-girlfriends was a Wiccan witch, and
mm-hmm.
I was involved with paganism for a long time too.
Mm-hmm.
So
again, it goes back, and again, everybody thinks it's innocent. It is, probably was one of the number one selling games a couple of Christmases ago. Okay, they revived it again, and it came back out, and it was probably one of the number one games that was sold among children. No, well, that is another game, but the Ouija board is the yes or no thing, you know. The more advanced phenomena occurs when the medium goes into a trance, and the medium will then report what he or she hears and sees in this condition. At times, the medium answers the questions which the sitters ask the spirit. You know, they change their voice a little bit and say that it's the person from beyond. The spirit called to control the medium makes the medium right. When the medium comes out of the trance, he or she seldom remembers what has been said or done, but is extremely tired. The most well-known seance in recent years was that of Bishop James Pike, who claimed that he actually spoke to his deceased son in the spirit world. And for more information on this case, read The Haunting of Bishop Pike, a booklet written by Merrill Unger. Some phenomena of spiritualism do not impart any information about the dead, but aim only at impressing the sitters with the power of the spirit world. Examples of this are the floating of objects throughout the room, or apparitions of spirits, you know. You go on the ride at Disney World, and they're at the table doing a seance, you know, and if the spirit is here, ring the bell twice, and you're going by, and it goes ding, ding, you know, and those are the kind of things that they use to show that you're part of the spirit world, okay? The visible manifestation of a spirit is called materialization. These spirits seem to materialize through a grayish substance called ectoplasmic effluvia, okay? If you do, you clean it up. That usually is discharged from the mouth of the medium. It's called throw-up in my world. Okay. Means they've been photographed with this soul stuff coming out of their mouths. Okay, no thank you. I didn't care to watch that. And again, of course, the most influential and rapidly growing branch of spiritualism is the world today is witchcraft. And for complete handling of the history and practice of witchcraft, read the Encyclopedia of Witchcraft and Demonology, no thank you, edited by Russell Robbins. Also see the complete book of magic and witchcraft. And part of this is being pushed and has been being pushed in recent years and in not so recent years. In 1972, they had an issue of Time magazine, And from the study of these several resources, it seems clear that these are certain definite qualities of witchcraft that have prevailed throughout the centuries. There have been two types of witches, generally black and white. White witchcraft supposedly brings good to people, is meant to be healing and helpful, while witches do not deliberately try to blaspheme Christianity but claim to work in cooperation with nature to restore health to the afflicted. Black witchcraft, however, outwardly boasts of the inspiration by Satan in opposition to Christianity. Black witches are known for their evil spells or curses, which they place upon their opponents. The Bible of black witchcraft is the Satanic Bible written by Anton LaVey, called the Black Pope of Satanism. Members of the black witchcraft of Satanism celebrate what they call the Black Mass, which is the reversal of the Roman Catholic Mass with adoration given to the devil. The wine and bread are purposely desecrated. At the altar, there is usually a young woman stretched out nude, and the elements are served on her body. Witchcraft has always been identified with absolute rebellion against the moral standards of Christianity. Those involved in Satanism see themselves as liberated from the guilt feelings and humiliation which they associate with Christianity or any other church. Witchcraft has always been known for the obsession with magic in the form of incantations, charms, or magic potions. Witchcraft was always considered nudity and dancing as the two most important and satisfying experiences in their inspiration ceremony. One of the things that stick in my mind about witchcraft and what goes on is when I was working at Kodak, I had just recently been saved and was really growing. And I had probably been saved about a year and started to really grow. And I bring my Bible to work. And so two girls came up to me one day at lunchtime and said, "Can we talk to you?" I said, "Sure, what's going on?" She goes, "We notice that you have a Bible and that you're probably a Christian." I go, "Well, that's a great assumption. What's going on?" They said, "We found this Bible, and it's not really a Bible, it's a satanic Bible. And we started messing around with it, and we saw some things happen that we didn't want to mess with anymore, so we wanted to get rid of it." So we went down to Charlotte Beach, and we put it in one of those webbed metal trash cans that they have down at the beach. And we put it in there, and we put a bunch of other papers in there, and we threw a match, and the papers lit, but the Bible wouldn't burn. And so we didn't know what to do, and so could you help us to know how we can get rid of this thing? And I said, "Absolutely." I said, "Go take it and rip it in a million pieces, rip pages out of it, put it in there, douse it with gasoline, step back though, okay? And then put it in there and see if it'll burn then." And they did it, and that's exactly how it burned. However, a great portion of those papers didn't burn. And so what they did is they got firewood and took charcoal lighter and burned the rest of them. But it took three tries to get rid of that thing. And the hottest fire they had, they were yelled at by the lifeguards for starting such a huge fire, but it didn't burn those things at first. So again, it's pretty safe, pretty messed up, okay, and pretty powerful. So you must, and again, I don't say that in you fear it. You don't fear it. Jesus Christ is greater than that, okay? You don't have to fear it, but the bottom line is be aware that that's what draws people to it, okay? Satan will use anything sign-wise to draw them into it and get you there. Time has three aspects. The first is sidereal time, which is ordinary time, is measured by the clock. Second aspect of time is psychological time, which is time measured by the differing anxieties of man. The third aspect is orthic time, which is the timeless present for those who have left this earthly life. And it goes on and all different little things about what goes on with among those things. But again, most of the things of witchcraft, they worship, they use a pentagram. I could write a book on some of the stories I've heard and been a part of. I had this one couple one day call me crying. And I said, "What seems to be the problem, Pastor? We don't know. We have all the, we bought a new house and we moved in this house, and it's not a brand new house, but ever since we've been in here, we've been having all kinds of problems. At night, our bed moves. At night, we hear people talking, and there's no one else in the house. The Pastor, it's just horrible. We haven't slept one night in 2 weeks in our house. It's just crazy. We see people in the little window panes of the house. You know those sailors that you see, the old-fashioned sailors with the pipe and the little hat and the beard, okay? She goes, "We see those people in those little things, you know, and they lived in a house out by the lake, okay?" So I said, "Okay, I want you to do something. Number one, I want you to look under every rug and tell me what's underneath every rug. If you got wall-to-wall carpeting, I want you to pull up the carpet and see what's going on. Okay? Number two, I want you to see if there's anything in your house that has a demonic form, like something that has a snake or something along those lines, or a book that talks about Satan or anything along those lines. Third, I want you to look above your doors. I said, and tell me what's up there and describe to me what you might see that's underneath the paint. Okay? So they came in, oh my gosh, Pastor, you wouldn't believe what we found. I said, okay, here we go, tell me. Because I know, because I've done this several times with people who have had these problems, and that's exactly what's going on. They pull the rug back, and here's a satanic pentagram inscribed in their floor, painted in their floor. Okay, and one house that I dealt with, it was burned into their floor. Like they took a wood burning kit and wood burned the thing in so no one could come by and get rid of it. Okay? And of course, satanic rituals are done through that pentagram. It's five sided. Five is the number of death. Okay? Satan is five. Okay? Five letters. And then this particular couple said, well, you know, we won this at the state fair, and we're not sure if it has anything to do with this. I said, what is this? And they said, well, we have a 6-foot-high red cobra statue. That a thing's just this high, and it's sitting there with its tongue made, this big, ugly look, like it's about to strike you. I said, okay. I said, do you still have it, and do you like it? And they go, well, it's scaring us right now. I said, well, go take it out in the backyard and take a baseball bat to it. Okay? And then the third thing, they were noticing that they had crosses up above their crucifixes up above their doors with weird writing underneath the crosses. They couldn't make it out what it was, but I said, I want you to just take all those and sand them and repaint over that with a kills or something that they can't see that coming through again. They did all that. They never had a problem after that. At a nursing home where it was in a couple's home, and they had the same thing. Their son was in the snakes, and they had, I think he had 150 pictures of different snakes in his room. And it seemed like most of the trouble was in the area where his room was. People would hear weird noises at night, and some of these older people were part of the nursing home. Out in Auburn, they had it in their home. It wasn't a facility. It was in these people's home, and that's what they had. They were in a nursing home. And people were talking about accidentally falling and tripping over things that weren't there. Of course, everybody attributed to, well, they're old and they can't see, you know, their bifocals messed them up or something like that. And they found that getting rid of these pictures stopped all demonic activity. So again, it is very real. I remember the Frechette. Anybody remember the Frechette family? Okay. Gloria, we went on a Bible trip one time to camp. And she was telling us that her and her husband were having all kinds of problems because they bought these lamps at Sears that you touch the lamp and it comes on. And the lamp would come on by itself and would go off by itself with no one touching it. They took the lamp back 75 times to Sears and got a new replacement every time, thinking there was something wrong with the switch. They lived right on Lake Ontario. They would look out and they would see a man in their rowboat that they had. They would just look down, and when they go out there was nobody there. Okay? Very real things. They also saw the picture of the sailor. One day they went to go out in the garage, and they tried to open the door, and it was like someone was holding the door, and they couldn't hold it. And she just kiddingly said, Jesus, will you take care of this for me? And the door opened. Okay? And so she asked us what she should do, and so at the time, the guest speaker was with us on the bus, and he said, what I do in those situations, number one, I leave my Bible open at night so the spirits can see the Bible and the angels can read the Bible. Number two, I would play Christian music loud. And number three, I would get the Bible on tape and have people reading the Bible out loud. And she did all those things, and every one of those things went away in her household.
So it's not superstitious to have the Bible open.
No.
Because I've had somebody say that, and I'm like, I don't think
so. I have it open because of a verse. I believe it's in Thessalonians, I think. that talks about the angels' desire to see and to hear of the grace of God. And so they don't know about the grace of God. All they know is, you know, the wrath and the creation of God. But to have God allow men who are sinners to come to heaven. And so I tell people, read your Bible open so the angels can read and find out what the truth of the Word of God is. But again, it's not a superstitious thing. I like to leave it open and let, you know, the angels be able to read it. But at the same time, what's going on in this world right now and in this room right now, if we really saw it, we'd all drop dead of a heart attack. Okay? Because the spirit world is a different dimension than our world. And at the same time, I believe our dimensional world is going on, the spirit dimension world is going on. So in this room are angels and demons that are fighting. And again, you and I can't see it. Paul talks about that all the time. Ephesians 6, we war a warfare, a spiritual warfare. Put on the whole armor of God, you know, that you could take care of the wiles of the devil. So again, I believe that I don't fret over it, because like the Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. But it's a very real thing. It's not something people make up. It's not just something that's good for storytelling around a campfire to get everybody scared to death. It is a very real thing, okay? The spirit world is very real. Satan would like you to think it has nothing to do, because again, he wants to lull you to sleep into thinking that there is no spiritual power or whatever the case may be. Okay, so again, that's an important thing. John?
I don't remember exactly what passage. I'm sure somebody does, though, but when I can't remember exactly who it was, but they stole the Ark of the Covenant from Israel, and then they had a statue, their own god that they worship.
Dagon.
Okay, where is that?
I want to say Kings.
Okay, well, that thing...
Heaven, you know where it is?
That thing was possessed by a spirit. It fell down,
right.
Pretty much, when they put the Ark of the Covenant in there, the Ark was pretty much saying, like, that's God, and they have this other god, and God pretty much made him bow down, and then he lifted him back up again, and then God said, no, you didn't bow down.
They got the fish god.
Mm-hmm. So there is a spirit that inhabited that materialistic statue.
1 Samuel 5.
Because of the occult worship.
Right. It's very real. Whenever I have anybody tell me they have problems in their house like that, spiritual things, I always have them look for those kind of things. Statues or things that you brought in that have satanic worship things to, you know. One guy had this thing, it was a fish with pants and a hat on. It was a real huge fish, and it was like he's walking around like he is some cool dude with a suit coat on and everything. It's like, get rid of that, man. That's Dagon, the fish god, okay? And that's why I don't put a fish, you know, the fish that a lot of Christians adhere to and they put on their cars. I don't put a fish on my car, okay? I have Jesus in my heart. I don't need to display a fish god on my car. 1 Samuel 5. Yep. Mm-hmm. Rich?
Every year, my wife's brother's a pastor down in Casadago, which is the same area as Lilydale. They're across the lake from them, so we take them every year. We go and walk around the lake in Lilydale, right, every year. And every year, they've gotten more trailers are empty, and they're more in disrepair. Some of the trailers are caved in, the roofs are obviously not living there. And it looks, I think they're running out of money. But they had asked Pastor Bailey, this my sister's brother, to come and preach down in Lilydale. And so he'd been praying for them and doing that same walking thing. And so he said, yes, he'd like to come. And he came in, I think it was a Saturday afternoon or whatever, and he got canceled at the last minute. But it looks to me like they're fixing to shut down down there. It's a closed community if you're not serious and can't live there.
Right.
I don't know if we could have a Christian closed community, 14468. Now, no one in there is a Christian, or you can't live there.
Yeah, really. Can you imagine?
So I assume they own the whole property and they can't afford those taxes.
Yeah. I know there's another place in Florida near my friend in DeLand, Florida. I can't think of it. It's very big for this. And a lot of spiritists go there, and I have to get the name of it for you. just to make you aware of it. But it's not it's Disney World. Yeah. No, one time we did a study in my Bible class. I don't know if Toma was in that class or not, but we did a study of all the, we listed all the movies that had some kind of witchcraft or Satanism in Walt Disney's movie. I think we came up with 63 movies of Disney that had some sort of form of witchcraft or Satanism or magic that could be attributed to. So it's very subtle, man. And some of the most famous cartoons of Disney World are satanic based. I think of Mickey doing his, you know, Fantasia, right, you know. What's that?
Sorcerer's
Apprentice, and then big time. Kevin?
I don't die in a
Don't die in us, please. I've done enough funerals in 2 weeks. I don't want to die. Okay, good.
There's a show on TV called Ghost Hunters, and I want to know what you think, if there is a difference between ghosts and the spirits that are, you know, the evil spirits that these people are experiencing in their houses.
I believe it's one and the same. It's all attributed to witchcraft. Yes. Yep. It's very real. That's why I won't watch anything like that, to answer that. I don't want to promote it, and I don't want it to influence my mind at all in any way, so that's why. But yeah, I believe that, Kev. I really do. Okay, it's very big. Okay, any questions up to this point about... Now, again, on one of your papers, I put... there's a thing about... Is it the one about the way of liberation? No. The one about Saul and conjuring up the witch of Endor. Is it in this one? Biblical answers to occultism. Okay, it looks like this. Biblical awareness or biblical answers to occultism. Probably in one of your packets. Someplace. Look on the, make sure you check the back.
The Way of Liberation, the second page.
Okay, The Way to Liberation, the second page, okay. The Way of Liberation from Occult Subjection. Again, there's a lot of controversy over this, over did he really raise Samuel, or did he really bring the Witch of Endor and bring Saul back from the dead, etc., etc., okay? Or Samuel from the dead, I'm sorry. The bottom line is, first of all, the first part, demon influence or demon possession. I do not believe, and I'll go on record by saying, I do not believe a Christian can be demon possessed. Anybody know why I believe that? Anybody give me a verse of the Bible that says why I don't believe that? That's one of them, but there's a more stronger one. What?
Cancer of two masters.
Yeah, cancer of two masters, that's a good one. John? Okay, but again, I think there's a stronger one. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath light with darkness, Christ with Belial, okay? So Christ and the devil, Belial, cannot be in the same place. So if you are the temple of the living God, okay, how can Satan dwell in the temple of the living God? Can't. Okay, so that's why I don't believe. However, can a Christian be influenced by demonic activity in their mind?
They can be oppressed. Yeah.
They can be oppressed in their mind. That's why I don't like to talk about this. Remember one time Rod Phillips and I were in his house in Lockport. We were helping him evangelize that city, and we were talking about some of the ghost stories that we knew that really actually happened, and all of a sudden there. Shannon, their oldest child, who's a female, she woke up screaming at the top of her lungs while we were talking about this. And there was nothing bothering her. It wasn't that she needed to be fed. And so we decided that, okay, maybe we better not talk about it. And then his son, Jeremy, woke up screaming. And so that's when we said, we're not talking about this at all. We're going to pray and put this to rest. We're not going to... Because he actually saw people floating in his backyard, picking up things off the clothesline, et cetera, et cetera. And he said, I wasn't dreaming. It wasn't my mother. It wasn't my mother out there. So there were a lot of things we were comparing stories, which you said, you know, not going to do. So again, Satan has the power to perform lying wonders We know that. B, C, Satan and demons have the power to impersonate the dead during a seance. I don't have a problem with them doing that. The voice especially. Okay? He's the prince of the power of the air, so therefore the airwaves are his. Scripture never teaches it's common practice for departed souls to reappear again in this world. Okay? He wouldn't let Lazarus go out of hell, the rich man to go out of hell to talk to his brothers. He was dead. Okay? He wouldn't let him go talk to him. He said they have Moses and the prophets. Okay? They are the prophets. Scripture warns us against the occult in many different places, and you can take the time to look those verses up. However, Saul and the Witch of Endor in 1 Samuel 28. Interpretations. 1 Chronicles 10 proves that God did not condone Saul's consultation with the witch. Can someone look that verse up for me and tell me what it says? 1 Chronicles 10, 13 through 14. Who's that? Go ahead, David.
So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it, and inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David, son of Jesse.
So God slew him for doing the consultation. Okay? This encounter of Saul with Samuel is interpreted by some as purely a psychological experience in the mind of Saul. For God would never reveal himself through the request of a witch. Saul was simply suffering from a guilt complex because of his disobedient life, and therefore his stress, this is what they say now, caused his soul to be overly sensitive. Supporting arguments for this view, the scriptures never said that Saul actually saw Samuel, but that he only perceived it was Samuel. Okay, someone turn to 1 Samuel 28 and read that part of it, okay? While we go on. Saul was depending upon the medium or witch for what she could reveal to him, not upon what he could see for himself. The witch only pretended to be in communication with Samuel, for she knew if she did not give the king what he wanted, her life would be in danger. Okay, so they're saying he never really conjured up Samuel from the dead. Anybody see anything in 1 Samuel 28 they'd like to share with us about that? Another interpretation, the appearance of Samuel was simply a demon impersonating him, for God does not allow actual spirits to communicate with human beings on the earth. The final interpretation, which is the phenomenon of 1 Samuel 28, can best be explained by an exceptional one-time appearance of the actual person of Samuel. Supporting arguments for this view are God's strange methods for revealing himself in the Old Testament. Samuel is mentioned 5 times in the chapter, which seems to indicate the actual presence of Samuel. The message given to Saul in the seance was one of judgment, not false encouragement. A demon impersonating Samuel would have given a message of false encouragement to Saul. God permitted Saul to receive a revelation through a seance because Saul could not reach God through prayer. And then the witch was shocked and frightened that actually Samuel, not an impersonator, her familiar spirit, supposedly appeared. She was shocked about it. So what, I know you guys, some of you have taken Samuel classes and Kings classes. So what is the consensus? What would you say? Personally, I think he saw Samuel, personally. Okay? I believe God allowed him to see Samuel. It wasn't a medium. It wasn't some spirit, so to speak, or spirit guide. I believe God said, okay, you want to talk to him? Here, talk to him. Go ahead, Joan.
I think it was God talking to him, but he had to show he couldn't appear
right
in front of, because it says you can't see God.
Right.
So it was God
voice.
He just had Samuel's face or body.
Okay. Did he actually see Samuel? Does it say he actually saw him?
She says she does.
She sees him.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Someone else? Any other thoughts on this? Go ahead, John.
15, it addresses Samuel spoke to him, and then 16, it addresses that Samuel spoke to
right.
him. So if you look at who's addressing him, it's saying Samuel
right.
is addressing him.
Right.
So
that
would take
That's why I believe it's Samuel, too. One of the reasons.
The weird part is 13. It says, and the king said unto her, be not afraid for what thou sawest. And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. I was all for them seeing Samuel. Good because Samuel seems to be a little bit sarcastic and a little bit upset with him holding up. The girl seems to be a little bit surprised, like she's finding out the truth. So I'm good with all that good stuff. But
She saw gods.
I don't get that one.
Plural.
Yeah. So either she's seeing the spirits and thinking that they're gods, I'm good there.
Okay.
Right? Or she's looking across the way and seeing some of the demons.
Or mixed in with Samuel.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there.
Mm-hmm. Rich?
I don't know. I don't know where it is. I thought it was Ezekiel 14:14, but I'm not finding it. The God says, I will answer you according to the multitude of your idols. And so I think that's how he's freaking out this lady. Otherwise, she wouldn't be freaking out.
Right.
But I think it's Psalm 89. It says, don't you know ye are little to ye gods? Mm. And then at the bottom of that, it's the very top of the psalm, it says what's going to happen to those little to ye gods. So sometimes those demons are called gods, and that would explain the Greek mythology, which is equal to Roman mythology, which is equal to Egyptian mythology.
Right.
They change the names, but the personalities of each of those things are pretty similar.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming they fit with those little g gods, which
mm-hmm.
are.
So then, if they're seeing the little g gods, which I can agree with, then is it Samuel? Because they can't mix the two, you know what I mean? The
Bible says that she saw Samuel.
Right.
So
she's seeing Abraham's bosom where Samuel is, and she's seeing hell where
the
demon is.
Right. That's impossible.
God would have to do something that he never does, which is called, a miracle. He's used to doing that, but it's weird for us.
Right.
One other weird thing. Anybody ever watch, was Samantha there?
Bewitched.
What was her mother's name?
Endora.
Yeah.
Bewitched of Endora.
Yeah. Helen knows more about this stuff than we do.
Exactly. Endora. Yep. It's true. All right, let's take a break and we'll come back and we'll let Beth give us the testimony. Okay. It's getting warm in here. I think the heat shut out or the air conditioning shut out.
I was involved in sorcery, among other things, as a young child. To give you some background from where I came from, I was born and raised in a solid Christian family. My grandparents were saved, as were their parents before them. So just because, I come from a saved family doesn't mean that I'm going to be saved, so to speak. It all started in elementary school, which for us is kindergarten through grade 6. It's different here in the States. But elementary school started grade 5. Started with just somebody asking me for one little puff on a cigarette. That's all it was. That's how it started. And then somebody saw that and said, well, you said yes to this, and you didn't get caught, so let's try it again. So gradually, due to peer pressure, I gradually started saying okay to once and then twice and then three times, and then before you know it, you're doing it on your own. And within a couple of months, I'm doing it on top of my parents' roof and dropping the butts down the exhaust from the furnace. And to this day, my parents don't know what I did. I believe some books are better left on the shelf, and it's better for them not to know. My sisters don't know, with the exception of one. And my brother doesn't know, nor do their spouses. I simply wanted to talk about it because it is very real, it is out there, and it will get you, and it will get your children if you're not aware. It'll get you where you are least expecting it. I've been in church probably since I was days, if not weeks old. I know the Bible. I know salvation. I know who Jesus is. And yet still, I was dragged into it. By the time I got to high school, which starts at grade 7, we're called juniors there, I was not only smoking, I was starting into drinking. Of course, you're in high school. It goes all the way up to grade 11, which is the end of high school for us. After that, I stayed up, which is grade 12. And then you head off to university and such. And you're with a whole bunch of, graduates who are moving on to universities and they're doing it, and it's cool. So, me as a little, 14-year-old heading into this big school of several hundred people, public school. Nothing against public schools, but that's where it was. I started into going with the crowd, so to speak. I left my old friends, which weren't great to begin with, and I slowly shifted to a new set of friends who were not only closer to home, on the same bus as me, going home, but were doing things that in my gut I knew I shouldn't be getting involved in, but I entered into a stage of rebellion, and I was like, you know what, the heck with what my parents said, I'm going to go find out what this stuff is all about, you know, I don't care, you know, I'm supposedly saved, got saved when I was 7, you know, I can put myself between my parents in the front pew with a guest speaker, I can time place, got it covered, I'm good, you know, but, you know, just like you were saying tonight, was I truly saved? I advanced not only through alcohol, but into drugs as well. And drugs make you do funny things. Talk funny ways, think funny things, see funny things. And I got involved with, there was this, in high school, there was this group of involving teachers and students and professionals from the town where I lived in, who were involved with this group who sent scouts out into the school who were students to look for people who were not necessarily searching and not necessarily people who didn't have friends, because I had friends, but just to go out there and set the feelers out, see who they could catch and what maybe or maybe not could develop, and I was sucked in. I became friends with a brand new student to the school who was involved in the occult, who I became friends with, who brought me into the occult, where I started learning things and I felt accepted. I felt nurtured, so to speak. You know, I didn't have good grades, and all my sisters and my brother had, you know, straight A students, teacher's pets. You know, nobody suspected little old me, you know. I'm just going to follow in the train of, you know, good little, well, I can't think of my last name, good little people, you know, in the school. Everybody knows us as good people. We all go to church. We all, you know, Wednesdays, we're Enlightened Bible Club, you know. I went to camp as a camp counselor of little kids, and I would be leading people to the Lord, and yet I was not the Lord's. I was serving somebody else. And yet, to the outside world, to my church, to my family, I was doing everything right. Mommy and Daddy had, you know, witnessed, you know, a life change, and I had a great mask, and I had it going. And as time went on, I grew more rebellious, and I hated my family, and I hated what they were pushing down my throat, just how I saw it. I hated what they stood for. I hated it. I started looking for excuses as to why I didn't have to go to youth group anymore. I had to go. Daddy said I had to go. Didn't argue with Daddy. I went. I went kicking and screaming, but I went. And inside a year, I was part of the leaders of the youth group. Yet, I was not interested, you know. I simply say that because you never know. You can't judge a book by its cover. Somebody could be, to all appearances, saved, and they're not. As time went on, I learned more about this group. I became involved with this occultic group. I started learning things about sorcery, but I couldn't become a, for lack of a better term, member until I had been through their initiation program. There was a few steps I had to take to actually become, you know, a witch, to actually become, you know, what the next step would be. There was women above me who were what we called mothers, who had already been through this, who were kind of like counselors. And there were other students who would come alongside you and, you know, help you along and coach you. And so I went through with it. My gut was still telling me that there was something wrong with this picture. But I chose to ignore it. And eventually with time, it just kind of stopped talking to me. I put him in a box, put him on a shelf, slammed and bolted the door shut, and I wanted nothing to do with God anymore. So I was initiated. I won't go into how. I'm not interested in talking about it. I saw things I wish I'd never seen. One example could be there was a cup of water sitting on the table, and I witnessed it fill with blood. Not just, you know, wine, or it was blood from empty, middle of the table to full. There were countless other things that I have seen, I have done. I started learning spells. I started, you know, I had spells cast on me. I cast spells. And then I was about 18 at the time, and something happened, and that gave my life a complete jolt. And this was after I was already involved in this way over my head. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. And it happened and turned my life upside down. And I can only stand here because my parents are prayer warriors. And I had an awesome youth pastor who saw trouble when it happened, who took me under his wing, didn't know where I was coming from, what was going on. He took me through my church at the time, discipleship program. Not the same one you use here, a different one. And slowly, surely, I started breaking down the walls. And God broke through yet again. And then at the age of 18 is when I believe I got saved. I have been under oppression since that point. Bible talks about, I don't remember where it's found, but when demons leave, they go around and they try to get back in. I don't
know.
Yeah, something like that. We looked it up not too long ago. I don't remember where. And it's been like that. Even when I was at the church where I met my now husband, I was still dealing with these problems. I would, you know, come home. I had a cat. Some people say that cats are extra sensitive. And there was one night I came home after talking with a couple who had funky things happening in their house. Rooms were cold and lights on and off, you know, all hours, certain things. And I came home and my cat used to greet me at the door, all loving, purring, you know. And the cat took off. He was gone. And I had the scariest night of my can't say of my life, but one of the scariest nights. And I spoke to some people at church, and they helped me through it again. And then I met Ted, and I moved here, and there's been problems since. And it was through the counseling of Austin from this church that finally I was released of all of this garbage from my past. And now I can say I am under the blood of Christ. I came here fully armored, ready for battle, knowing right now that as I speak, someone is not very happy with me. And that somebody is very happy with me. And that's who I'm here to stand and praise. I want to praise the Lord that I got through this. I'm standing here, you know, not everything is well, but everything is a heck of a lot better than it used to be. And, you know, it's a long road to recovery. But I'm well on my way. That's about it.
Do you want to open up to questions?
I'm happy for questions. There are things I will not answer. No offense to anybody. But, yeah.
The one in Luke 11:24, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking
yeah.
rest. And finding none, he saith, I will return to my house when it came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. yeah, I don't know if there's any questions. Yeah.
Is that primarily how it's spreading is, in your case, you were sought out in your school. Is that a primary target for this type of thing?
They go anywhere. They go in bars. I mean, the places where you would kind of expect this thing to happen. But they went to a public school. There was a cell in my public school. We met in the biology field behind our school on lunch hours, and that's where we did our thing. Right there, right on public school property. Praise the Lord, my sisters had no clue. You know?
The yeah. Mall is a big place for the recruit.
Yes.
If they have people in the malls that look.
They walk the streets.
Yeah, right.
Pick them out. I never actually did any of that.
Like levels and hierarchies and such.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you're saying about the village, but I'm like talking into adults that we're not going to get into the gothic, everybody dressed in black, but like cleaning up people that you don't have the foggiest idea. Well, I'm talking all the way up to the top, though.
There was one guy who was in charge for the entire village.
Okay.
Region where I lived, there was one man who we all called Father that we would answer to. I never met him, but we were told, you know, that he did do the circuit, and there were special meetings, you know, when he was around.
Pastor Michael said that. Did you share this testimony with other folks in our church here?
This is the first time I'm ever speaking out about it.
I want to say thank you for being willing to give that, because myself and probably most of us have heard of people who have been caught up and involved. But to listen to you as somebody that you see and know Jesus for real,
it's up there.
Our hat up.
I had a boy one time. But he tried to tell me about this, and that it was actually fun and stuff. And he knew that I was a Christian. He said, he asked me if I wore a cross, and at the time I was wearing a cross. And he's like, if you ever do this, you actually have to take the cross off and keep everything related to Christ out of the room. Is that true?
I was not allowed to wear even a bracelet that says WWJD on it. I was not allowed to wear shirts that would maybe be taken that way. There was specific dress code, I suppose you could say, of what I had to wear. I would wear school under my regular clothes so that nobody would know. But, yes, no, you can't. You can't wear crosses. You can't wear specific earrings, you can't, you know, things that could be, certainly couldn't carry a Bible.
What's your advice for parents?
I got asked that question. Things that happened to me were attitude changes. I prefer to be alone. My room became my sanctuary, so to speak. My music taste changes. My appetite changed. My food likes, so to speak, changed. The way I looked changed, like my face expressions, the way I, you know, wore my hair and things like that, that changed. Because I wasn't me anymore. I don't know if my parents ever saw it and just decided to take the back burner and just pray. But those were big things. And me now being a parent, I am terrified for my children. This world is not the same as what it was when I grew up. It's worse. And yet I got dragged into it. I don't know. It scares me. But they say sometimes your sins will turn on you. I pray that's not true. But, you know.
Think that should that one event not have happened, do you feel like you would have continued to go down that road?
Would
your parents have been able to intervene?
Probably eventually. By 18, I wasn't even living at home anymore. I could not stay under the authority of my dad anymore, and I chose to leave. I don't know that, but probably if that event had not happened, I honestly don't think I'd be standing here today. I don't know where I'd be, but I probably would not be here. Most probably. Unless God had another purpose for my life. For the longest time, I didn't know why I'd been through. I've been able to coach lots of, especially young girls, who try to figure out who they are and testing the waters to see what else is out there besides what mommy and daddy say is true. I guess that's the way it was for me. Got to be something else out there.
Were you recognized as a witch from your students in your class that were witches?
We knew who each other was.
So your dress code
was when we met together. Is when, because when you're in public school, you can't be dressed a certain way. They do now, but.
So obviously there was a very big secrecy between you and the other people.
It was only those who knew what was going on that were allowed to know what was going on. Unless you chose to bring somebody in, but you wouldn't start bringing them in when everybody's doing their thing. I mean, they would slowly meet people and make friends, get all fuzzy-wuzzy, and, you know, feel welcomed and rejoiced, and, you know, you make friends. You do what friends do. You go out, you go to movie theaters, and, you know, that's kind of how they suck you in.
How many teachers were involved with?
I'm trying to remember. Not a whole lot. Maybe three out of a staff of roughing it, 50, 60, somewhere around there. Be my best guess. Not a whole lot, but enough to be able to do it on school property and not know and know how to not get caught, kind of thing.
When you came out of it, were there people that were still in? Were they like harassing you to come back?
I was shown pictures of my family and said that if I ever breathed the word of this to anybody, they would kill my family. So because I was scared, I didn't breathe the word of it to anybody. But yeah, there were threats. There was.
That's why it lasted so long.
Yeah, I was constantly under the what's the word? Yeah, they had me wrapped around their little finger, even though I was even in a different country. Like, how could they find me? You know,
we're gonna take your family and we're gonna piece them back, have the bottles for you, just living with that under that thought process, and then coming from this lady who's in front of you, coming from a very prestige family, like any instance that you would know, were creatures coming before you in this institute going on, or like the Masters or the Graces, or you know, any part of that, having kids and children that you see that, regardless, that are like the streets, are just thoughts of like that. Families that are doing what they're doing, but yet having that part play in to where there's someone before you that's living the double standard life, and that sort of characteristic.
The mind games they play too is like if you see a red impaler, you know that it's us, and when you go by, you'll know that we're watching you when you see a red impeller. And that's how they keep people trapped. They're afraid to death to get out of it, and they see a red impeller, and they go, they're watching me. They know where I am. They know who I am. They know where I live. And that's the psychological thing.
It wasn't just that they had pictures of my family. They had pictures of my family, not just in school, but my dad at his workplace. my mom and what she was doing in our at our house. Like, they were, they knew. They knew where to get me. I wasn't even safe in my own home, kind of thing.
I encountered satanic cults many a times in my life. I had a rough life. I've been a drug addict. When I got saved, I came here, actually. God called me. But the last place before, my last job, I worked for a big-time person that was in the satanic church. And he had every type of movie star, rock star, in his joint. And they had satanic churches, and they were trying to initiate me in. We're kind of, and I've had a lot of experience, I'm aware of kind of some of the scenarios, and they're not pretty, and I wouldn't want to talk about them either, and some of the practices, and a lot of it was drug-induced. But I sure would like to, you know, I know I haven't, I've been studying the Bible, and it's what cleansed me as yourself. I get oppressed sometimes, many a times, it's where I've been numbed, by the touch of some type of demonic presences. It's not something you want to talk about with people because some people have no idea what you're talking about. And they're, you know, they just haven't experienced it. But I sure would like to find a resource, like, if you know of any, of where I could pick up a book of somebody that has and has opened up on certain of these principles. Because I'm not afraid of the people that I was once in, but I know that they're connected. I see mobsters and stuff in there, big time lawyers. Stuff was going on in that club that you would not expect to be going on anywhere. I mean, it's totally not supposed to happen. And they were doing it. And, you know, I was a part of it. So I just like to, you know, before I really talked about more things or could develop anything out of it, I need to get more educated on the whole scene. Because I never joined in some of the activities that they were doing. They tried to get me to a lot, but I would, they tried to open up and invite me to church a lot.
I would caution against it. Just because once you're open to it, your eyes are revealed to things that you don't want revealed to you. But once you're in it, it's too late. I can't walk down the street. I have a habit of looking in everybody's eyes. I can't walk down the street and not see something. I can't do it.
I don't want to know about the occult practice. I just want to know more.
Somebody
about
who's come out of it. And
someone that's come out of it and get more of an education on, like, exactly the scenario, what they're doing. Because I know I've heard of certain things, but seems like you're talking like a secret satanic society, and, you know, I would just, I'd like to further educate. So what I'm asking is, if you know of any resources,
I could probably do research.
If there's any books that I could buy that would, aside from
the I don't know, apart from the websites that are listed in your paper today, I really, I don't go out there looking for those books, so I really couldn't tell you.
Unlike testimonies.
Right, I don't follow that stuff anymore. I'm not interested in it. I personally wouldn't keep any books in my house just because of where they were. I wouldn't do it. Just for me, it would be something that would be a problem. It would cause a problem.
I just have a real question. You might not even remember, but with the teachers, like, what were the teachers of, like, in your classes, like?
No. One was a gym physical education teacher. One was an English teacher, and the other one was a French teacher. So just your common Joes that you really would not expect, you know, especially the English teacher. I mean,
yeah. Good question.
Yes.
This society, as Jack called it, they have like connections higher up in the chain, like people all over the place and government and stuff like that. So it's actually like a secret society.
Well, I don't know if it's a secret society, but it is very secretive. I couldn't tell you who in Parliament, at least up in Canada's Parliament, I couldn't tell you who they were. I'm going to stick around long enough to learn the names of everybody. I don't want to meet them. I don't know if I would know it if I met one. I don't know. But there are people way up there that you probably wouldn't expect that are involved way over their head. You don't even know it.
Someone came to you back and they asked you, how do I get out of this?
Tell me to go talk to the counselor and pastor. I'm not qualified to really counsel people out of it. All I can do is tell them what I did. I just turned tail and ran. It helps that I left the country, but I turned my tail and I ran. That's kind of how I did it.
You started getting closer to Christ.
I was discipled. I got my life back in order. And ever since, I've been living for Christ. And I would change it. There was a question.
Modern Wiccans are pretty open. At least in my work, they'll say they're Wiccans. They are recruiting. They're going to have a picnic. And then we have pagan days out at the lilac. What is that, pilot? Where we go with the Lilac Festival, they're real open with stuff and they want to sell you trinkets. Mm-hmm. And they say, well, this is talisman or animals, so this is warlock. Do you put these stocking objects for animals that are supposedly buried?
If it's been in their hands, yes. You have no idea what kind of spell they cast on it. You have no idea what it's going to do to you. Hanging it around your neck is probably the worst place you put it.
Yeah.
And it's right beside your heart. I wouldn't do it.
Oh, so
if it's been in their hands, you could bleed the blood of Jesus on it. But, I wouldn't wear a claw around my neck. I wouldn't wear, the five-pointed star around my neck. I wouldn't. It just brings back memories from the past that I'd rather leave behind.
We got blades with bumper stickers all over the place. Yeah.
Some of them aren't really out there.
Yeah.
And they just want everybody to know just exactly who they are. Mm-hmm. I can tell them just exactly who they are.
When I say I'll pray for you, she freaks out, has a little seizure.
Yeah,
even though I am on the right road with salvation, that there was still oppression in everything. And needless to say that if that's not taken care of, it's going to follow you.
And run, but you can't hide.
Exactly. And that's one of the biggest notes that you can have from personal experience with a Christian, that you can have that thought taken care of or certain things to where, and definitely on the road to recovery without a doubt, but yet having things progressively that are there, and if they're not taken care of, just like any of our sins has, yes, they're in the blood, but if it's still in your head, and it's psychological and mental, and if it's not under the blood, meaning that sin that you name, what it is, it's going to follow you, it's going to haunt you, and that's to where with this testimony that what it has progressed coming out is, yeah, you can run, but you can't hide. And from what you're saying, because it'll make things worse. If you're going to hit it head on, better hit. Because it's just going to beat you up and get you back up.
Mm-hmm. Once you're an alcoholic, you're always an alcoholic. Once you're a smoker, temptation's always there.
Even in your sleep.
Even in my sleep. But I'm equipped with what I can do now. I have scripture verses I can go back to. The main one is casting down imaginations. It's amazing what happens when the lights go out and you're ready to go to sleep. It's amazing. It's amazing what happens. To this day, I can't sleep in the dark. I can't. I can't do it. You have a nightlight. I have to. That's
because you're married now. Anything else? Anyone else?
Was there a mix of boys and girls?
At times, yeah.
More girls?
More guys than girls. Way more guys than girls.
More guys.
More. By far.
Is that
Yeah.
for specific reasons, there's more guys. There may be more girls out there, but there was more guys. Let's say it that way.
Question.
Did you ever encounter anybody that you would believe to this day anything were actually even to this side? Yes. Young kid at camp. Very young. 7. We took care of it, but not by myself. But he went home a changed boy.
Okay.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Again, it is very real. I think in my lifetime I've come across 3 or 4 people that I knew were demon-possessed. I had no doubt in my mind that they were. One was went to New York City and on a subway ran into somebody at the subway station. Definitely was demon possessed, and others along the way. But again, it's not my position to cast the demon out. I'm not an exorcist. Don't ever claim to be. The way the demon comes out is they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Mm-hmm. And that's when the demon comes out. So you try to get them to trust Christ. You plead the blood of Christ on them. But again, only when they allow Jesus Christ to enter does the demon have to flee. Okay? I don't like talking about this. I don't blame Beth one bit. I don't like talking about it because, again, it just stirs him up and old smutty face thinks he's being glorified. And he's not. I'm just making you aware that it's very real. They're recruiting people. They're in the malls. They're in places where kids hang out. And, again, not to panic you or scare you, but just be alert. Don't. It's like telling you to be alert for somebody who might kidnap your child, okay? Only this one, they kidnap psychologically, and it sometimes is far worse, okay? The rest of the material, especially on Wicca, make sure you read, okay? And again, I included an article on the modern world of witchcraft. I will reprint this one that got messed up, give it to you. But one of the things I want to point to before we're done is the way of liberation from occult subjection. Okay? And again, it's the Holy Spirit and a person trusting Christ and getting into God's Word that will help them get away from it. The Holy Spirit indwelling you, that's the major one. But again, if you get an opportunity to counsel people, again, the worst thing you can do is minimize this. Oh, that's nothing, you know. You just have to plead the blood. It'll take care of it. Do not minimize it. It is very real and very psychologically oppressive to this person, okay? It will take months and many sessions to help a person through this, okay? The other thing I wanted to point out to you is all the biblical admonition of all the occult practices. Every occult practice that's listed in the Bible is there for you in the references of where they are found so that you can see every place that the word shows up and so you can have an understanding when someone talks about it. If you don't know some of these words, go to a dictionary and you will find it, okay? And you'll be able to see what the bottom line is, okay? Other than that, any other questions about this?
Next week your papers due.
Next week your papers due. Next week we will have a presentation on Islam. Frank Salvaggio has put together a PowerPoint presentation, and I've reviewed it with him, and he's going to use it because he is in the process of teaching at different Bible studies. So I told him, good, then you can do your final exam by doing it in front of us. So he's going to come and do a presentation on Islam next week. And that will be our last class, so you don't have a final exam, so to speak. Okay, your final exam is your paper. If you're not a student, you're free. Okay. And then I'll try to get your papers back to you as soon as possible. And that's about it. Any questions? I really appreciate...